nobility in life is knowing the Lord and walking in His way. The most glorious pursuit of mankind is walking in God's image and likeness. It is our utmost desire that you will be richly blessed as you listen to this message from Living Scroll Ministry, aka It's the Bible Network. For more life-transforming messages, please visit www.livingscrollministry.com.
Can we join us together as I welcome Dr. Sokwe? Can you tell us your name and straight to your question? Lord bless you.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Yes, now it's me. My name is Ojote Mitokwawatunde. I have 5 questions, and the number one carry another 3 questions. No, they are questions that are straight answers. So, the questions that are straight answers. Number one question goes to Pastor.
Yes.
And the number one question is about life. Now, from now till, from the day our pastor was born till now, I think pastor should have a definition of what life is. So from experience and how he has lived life till now. So I want to ask from pastor that what is life to you? That's number one question. So I still have.
Praise the Lord. Alright, please ask your question and ask all of them at once. So I will now answer them because of those that may be related.
So the first one is that what is life to pastor? Second one is in life over time it's experience that what is pastor's greatest fear. and the third one for number one is now that as you are growing and as you are getting older, how would you want your journey in life to end? First one is, what is life to you? What is the greatest of your fear? What's the greatest of your fear? Then, how would you like to end the journey of your life? How would you like it to end? And number two, is in your walking with God, over time, you're walking with God, what is your greatest key in relationship with God? That has shaped your relationship with God. Number three, in your relationship with God, what is the greatest shocker? I mean, when it comes to truth revealing, what is the greatest thing that shocks you that God has revealed to you and that is yet to know to this generation? Number four, last year I asked the same question that what is your greatest desire, your heart cry? Then you talk about journey in meekness. So, and now that you have started the journey since last year till now, what is now your definition for meekness from March 1 to this year? Because, and number five, I think the last question, what area of your life and ministry that you think need most much prayer? That's the last question. What area of your life and ministry that you think need most or much prayer?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You are welcome in Jesus' name. I want to appreciate every one of you that came for this meeting. I want to say thank you.
Hallelujah.
Then let me just go straight to Brotokwe's question. The answers are very simple, so it won't take time. What is life? What I have come to define, what I have seen as life is what King David said in the Psalms, that your loving kindness is better than life. You know, it's the love of God. And also simplified in simply say, just following the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Yes. You know, just following the Holy Spirit. That's how I define life. Even ministry. Ministry is simple. It's not running a volume and volume of activities and heaping testimonies here and there. True ministry is following the Holy Spirit. All men that you have seen their life chronicled in the Bible, they did one thing, one simple thing. They just followed God. They just followed the Holy Spirit. Abraham, is it Elisha? They just followed God and we now wrote books and we wrote volumes out of their lives. So a man that just followed the Holy Spirit, you don't know where you are going. You don't even know where you are coming from. You see, our life is like a wind. You don't know how it blows. Even yourself, you don't understand it. So if you don't understand it, then how can you live it? How can you live what you don't understand? So, and the key that God has given to us is His Spirit. He said He will lead you, He will guide you, He will help you, He will counsel you, He will comfort you. So if you simply want to live a victorious life, just cut, courtship. Just cut the Holy Spirit. He can be cutted. Yes, you can cut His. You cut Him by obedience. You cut Him by devotion to truth. You don't cut. It's not a being of, it doesn't demand perfection. It demands yieldedness. You try and go again. You keep going. Again and again He corrects us and He loves us. Amen. Praise the Lord. So life is simply following the Holy Spirit and then loving God with the whole of your heart. Then, of course, your greatest fear is still remains yourself, your motives. Sometimes we don't know who we are. The psalmist say, search me and know my heart. He say, and see if there is any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Sometimes our motives, sometimes we start well. Sometimes we begin with God, then we hijack it from Him. This is called fame, glory, and it's not, those things are not superficial. Those things are deep within. Deep within is by help, divine help. And again, that's why we have the Holy Ghost. He is your helper. He will show you your motive. He will show you your motive. Sometimes you are pursuing things with zeal, with ardor, but deep within the motive is tainted. Sometimes we are pursued because of our pursued life. We are pursuing certain things because we are ambitious. Not because of Him, not because of selflessness, not because we see His glory. Sometimes we might even fast for His glory for 1 year, but in between the desire to be relevant in your generation, the desire to also be known. All of those things are there, you can't see them. It's only the Holy Ghost that can make you to see it. The Bible says, whatsoever make manifest is light. It's the Holy Ghost that can make them manifest, that can reveal them. When He reveals them, then He helps to correct them. So, is it He that must follow me, He must deny Himself. So my greatest fear, I'm not scared of the evil one, Satan. My greatest fear, is myself. Praise the Lord. It's myself. This man prayed the prayer. Kenneth Copeland. He didn't ask, he said, God, make me willing to be willing. He didn't just pray for willingness, No. He said, make me willing. He said, if you are willing and obedient, willingness, will, your will. My friends, your will is real. Your will is real. If it was tough for the Son of God, how are you going to presume that it's going to be easy in your own life? Jesus got to a point. Everything that Jesus did, all of those things, the main day, why He came to the earth, He had not hit the nail on the head. It's all those times. Those baptism of John coming out, He came in the fullness of power. His shadows and He was raising Lazarus and all of those things, Why He came to the earth, He had not hit the nail on the He had not, what, how did they say it? Hit the nail on what? He had not hit the nail on the head. You see, all of those things, Jesus moved in. He had the anointing, He had the glory, He had the power. But in moving with God, his call on earth, He had not hit the nail on the head. It was going to happen in Gethsemane. So I told you, He has seen power. He was praying while he was doing meeting one time. He removed the roof and he dropped somebody. The person got healed. All of those demonstration and the movement of flow of power until he got to Gethsemane. At a point, he said, "Let this cup pass away from me." That's how tough it can get. This was Jesus, the Son of God. So if Jesus got to that point in following God, you don't think that you are going to follow an express. He go to that point, he say, if it's possible, let this cup pass away. He said, but not my will. Jesus now mentioned His will. This is the word became flesh. This is Jesus, the Son of God. All the prophecy in the Old Testament, look at the high thing they said about Him. He said, my servant will do no iniquity. In his day, the righteous shall flourish. Say righteousness shall cover the earth. On account of Him, the glory of the knowledge of God will cover the earth as the water covers the sea. But when He stood on earth, you see, earth is a different ballgame. When you talk about the heavens, I'm seated in heavenly places, I'm a child of God, I'm redeemed. All of those beautiful things you say, earth is a totally different ballgame. So when the same Son of God you hear about in the Bible, read about in the Old Testament, that the Father, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You know, even when he was starting, you know, his ministerial work on earth, he got to a point and he mentioned his will. He said, not my will. His will is that he doesn't want to do at that point. I said, the will of Jesus is that he doesn't want to do it. He now asked God to set aside his will. So can you see? He now asked God to set aside my will so that I can do your will. But let of my own will, I don't want to do it. He said, if it is possible, let it pass away from me. Jesus stood and he stayed in the course of teaching his disciples that, you know, give an illustration. No, this was no illustration. This was serious business with the Father. He said, take it away. But then he now hit pause. But not my will, I still want to do your will. And then they now helped him. Praise the Lord. That is why you now go to the book of Hebrews. He said, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication unto him that can deliver him from death. What was that death? That was rejecting the Father's will. He said, unto him that could deliver him from death and was hard. God helped him because of his reverent submission. At that point, he still submitted to the Father. And then he was delivered from death. So now imagine Jesus got to that point and said he's not going to the cross again. What will happen? No, can you? It's not even imaginable. At that point, he said he's not going to the cross. And you know, so you can see. He said God had him. God helped him. That Hebrews 5:8. He said God helped him because of his reverent submission, because he feared. Praise the Lord. So the greatest fear that I have, and of course supposedly, is going to be yourself. So all of this thinking the devil is nowhere. When he comes to the play of power, the devil is nowhere. He said he made an open show of them, triumphing them on the cross. He said with the finger of God, Abby, cast out demons. The apostle said demons are subject to us in your name. When we mention your name, they submit to us. This King David also wrote in Psalm 18. He said, strangers, you know, when they hear of me, they submit to me. He said, Jesus, we know, Paul, we know, who are you? So the man that knows his identity in the spirit, Satan no longer becomes a problem. Praise the Lord. You remember the apostle Paul. What did he say? What was his greatest challenge? He said, I put under my body after I have preached to others so that I might not be a castaway. So when he mentioned those, he does not mention Satan. He said, for the multitude of revelation that was given to me, you know, lest I fall into the condemnation of the devil, lest I become proud. Then God now helped him. Then he said, a messenger of Satan was sent after me to befriend me, so that he himself will not become proud because of the volume of revelation and because of the grace of God that he carried. Those things can be hijacked. How did Satan fall into condemnation? You know, Satan fell into condemnation because of what he was carrying. He said his beauty corrupted him. So the anointing can corrupt you if you are not careful. Even the presence of the glory. He said for that glory, for what he carried, you know, the beauty that he carried was the one that corrupted him. Man of God, people are healing you. A lot of you have derailed. Even a lot of celebrated figures. These things are very dangerous. It demands you crying the cry of your life to be delivered from it. Amen. That one is God that can help you. You lie prostrate before him. Prostrate before him so that he can help you. He said, three times I besought God that he should help me. He said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Paul said, rather I glory in my weakness. Rather let me become a weak man in his presence. Because when I become a weak man in his presence, I can appropriate his strength. So the strength of God can come to help me. Praise the Lord. Another man, then I close with this one. Peter. Peter had followed Jesus for 3 years. Peter was giving glory and was giving power. Even to the extent that his shadow was healing the sick. And yet at that point, Peter had not understood why Jesus came and died on the cross. He knew it in his head, but he doesn't know it in his spirit. You know, then God now decided to help him. How? That's the story you find in Acts chapter 10. He said, Jesus came, you know, he said, I came for the lost sheep of Israel and then to save the whole world. He came for the redemption of the whole world. But Peter was still thinking about Jude and Jerusalem. And not willing to take the gospel to the Gentile. He said, my servant will, he said, he will be a light to the Gentile. As all of them prophesied it. And Jesus came. The other sheep I have in John 10, which are not of this fold, which does not belong to Israel, to the nation of Israel. I come for something that is superior to Israel, the whole world.
But Peter never understood that the gospel is meant for the whole world. And that is the cross, that is the heart of the matter that Jesus came. So Peter, in following God, had not entered into the core of that life. Acts 10, then God now helped him. God set aside Peter to help Peter. How? They gave him a vision. He said, God, I've never eaten anything unclean. I will eat it. He said, I will eat it. He said, what God that cleans, that call you not common. Don't call it unclean. Then when Peter now, you know, three times the thing was repeated and it was taken, three times, he brought it, God brought it again, Peter rejected it. Brought it again, he rejected it. Then he says, some men are standing outside there, go with them, don't even ask any question. So Peter went. When he went to the house of Cornelius, you know, that is where one of the greatest miracles in the Bible happened. He stood in the house of Cornelius, he was now preaching to them. You know, while he was now speaking to them, then the Holy Ghost bypassing him. You know, it's just like trying to help a baby boy to climb a fence that he could not climb. You know, even in the area of his own calling, to assess, you know, I told you how they helped the Christ, Jesus, you know, the Son of God. Then this is Peter, you know, the foremost apostle after Jesus left. He himself had to be helped. Then now begin to think of yourself. Peter, when he stood in the house of Cornelius, when he was preaching the gospel, the Holy Ghost bypassed him. As he was preaching, he said, and while he was here speaking, you know, it was a multitude that was gathered. He said he called his neighbor, his kinsmen, and his friends. So there were plenty. They had not even accepted the gospel. There is not even a point. Do you believe in Jesus? Don't believe in Jesus. While Peter was here preaching, the Holy Ghost got them born again and got them filled with the Holy Ghost. They got saved and got baptized in the Holy Ghost. It was not a question whether do you believe in Jesus? I accept the gospel. No, all of them, you know, all of them there, they got saved and they got filled with the Holy Ghost. Then Peter said, what can forbid us to get them baptized? Then remember, when he now stood in a council, when there was now a debate, that whether the Gentiles should hear the gospel, the Gentiles should not hear the gospel in Acts chapter 15. Then Peter now gave the account of what happened. That while I was yet preaching, God gave them the Holy Ghost the same way he gave it to us. The same way he gave it to us, and that resolved the crisis, you know, the Jerusalem church, that whether the gospel should be given to the Gentiles. So that was how even Peter himself was helped. So God went beyond him to help Peter. Then Peter now saw another aspect of the gospel. He saw another revelation of the gospel that he never knew before. Even though Jesus told him, there's a difference between you being told and you understanding something. You know, so that was how they helped him to enter into the next phase of life and the calling, you know, of what Jesus has for him and the assignment, you know, even for the church as a whole. And they were the icons. They were the icon that represent, you know, God, the image of God in the church, you know, to take it to the next level. So the Holy Ghost had to bypass him. You know, he had to bypass his mind, you know, to do it. Then Peter just followed him into that experience. But he was not willing to go in. Even he told them, when he stood in that house, you know that it is not right for the Jew to stand with the Gentiles. He still told them. After God warned him that, go, don't ask any question. Don't call common what I have claimed. Then when he was now speaking, he now told them, he said, God has warned me that I should call no man common, that I should not call any man unclean. Jesus has already died, has shed his blood, and yet they still believe that some people are not clean. That means the potency of the blood does not go towards them. Maybe the blood was not for the whole world. It was only for a limited race, the Jew. You know, he said, but God warned me that I should call no man common, no man unclean. That for God has cleansed all men. I don't have time to open those portions of the Bible. That's Acts 10. Acts 10. So you can even see after 3.5 years with Jesus, after the earthly time with Jesus, after walking with the Holy Ghost for some time, even Peter had to be helped to enter into the depths, you know, of his calling on earth. So the same thing will go for you and the same thing will go for us. So don't do any gra-gra. You are seeing some small thing around you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Some certain small things are breaking forth, you know. You are going to have some certain encounters and everything. You can walk with God for 30 years in ministry and not have entered the heart of what God has called you to do on it. It's possible. I gave you the example of Jesus. Why he came was that, look at that Gethsemane. He must carry the cross. He said, for this reason I was born, to carry the cross. But he got to the stage for him to carry the cross. He said, no, let me not carry it. Peter, to take the he said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, right? You shall be my witnesses. From where? What did the Bible say? Judea and to the what? To the uttermost part of the earth. Peter refused to go to the uttermost part of the earth. That's what I've been trying to tell you. These were the people he had committed the gospel to. Now take him from Judea, Jerusalem. Now go to the. He said, no, I'm not going. 3 times he said, I'm not going. So those were the things that then the Holy Ghost had to help him. The Holy Ghost had to move in his sovereign power, you know, in that house of Cornelius. Then Peter now saw another side of God. Then he now followed him. Praise the Lord. So that one is help. That one is divine help. Praise the Lord. So I've explained that one. Then how do you want to end? I've already explained it. Amen. Yes. How do you want to end? There is no other way to end than, to follow him to the grave. Amen. Praise the Lord. You kept following God, follow him to the grave. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, the grave by means to the end of your life, you know, when you shed this blood, and then to hear that statement at the last day, welcome, thou good and faithful servant. Praise the Lord. It's key to hear that word. Well done. That just 2 words, well done. Good and faithful servant. Amen. This is a good and faithful general. Good and faithful general. Good and faithful what? Servant. Good and faithful what? Good and faithful servant. Praise the Lord. So that is the key that shapes your relationship with God. It's just one word. I won't explain it again further. I've taught a lot on it. Love. Amen. Love and servanthood. Love and what? You shall serve the Lord your God, and him alone shall you what? You shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve. Love and servanthood. That is one thing that I've shaped, one key that has shaped my relationship with God and with people. Love and servant and service. Service, to serve at every level. Then the greatest thing revealed to you in God is His love. Is love. The greatest revelation of God I've seen, I've had, is love. Definition of meekness. Well, you can check it, livingstoneministry.org. The message is there. Johnny Meekness. Johnny Living Scroll Ministry is together with Scroll. This is a book, livingscrollministry.org. You can download it. Just about 16 or 17 minutes message. It's a very short message. Johnny Meekness. That's the word that the Lord that gave us last year, during this time last year. Johnny Meekness. And there, I think it was well explained. Meekness is the ability to respond to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. What did I say is meekness? Ability to respond to the Holy Spirit. He's a meek man. This man is meek. You know? Ability to respond to the Holy Spirit. When you have a husband, I don't pray it happens to us, but it does happen. You know, when you come and the man after me, for instance, you walk. I want to use the extreme to give an example of meekness. You walk to you, something happened, and after the man finished slapping you like 3-4 times, you know? 3-4 times, and you got angry and you left. You know, I can't. And while you are going on the way, the Holy Ghost spoke to you that go back to the same house. Your ability to go back is meekness. You know, yes. While you have been offended and hurt, for you to bend your will, for you to bend. You know, like for instance, somebody has hurt you. You have, and maybe you have a husband. I'm giving an example for a lady now. The man has maltreated you so much in the house. You know, maybe might not be often in his nature or something. You are so offended, and you are going there. The Holy Ghost spoke to your ability to turn. That is what to call meekness. To respond to the Holy Spirit. Even when it is not convenient. Even when you cannot even understand what he's saying. That is meekness. Meekness. Ability to yield and to respond to the Holy Spirit. Even when you got married and your wife is not behaving well. Ability not for you to begin judging the way she treats me. You know. Most times people that have issues in marriage, the only thing they talk about is themselves. Nobody tells you this is what the Holy Ghost has said. Because the Holy Ghost will not tell you the things that you are thinking, the things that you are believing in your heart. You know, like that, she doesn't do this, she doesn't do this, she doesn't do that, she doesn't. Then what is the Holy Ghost telling you? You need to hear him. So most times people run away from listening to the Holy Spirit. You know, I told you that the greatest fear is who? Who did I say is who? Is who? Is this thing is so deep and is so profound? It's so deep and it's so profound. You know, these are like that, like that, like that, like that, on and on and nobody mentioned the Holy Spirit. It's them. It's me. It's me, this and that, you know, like that. So the same thing, you as a lady. Why am I saying it? I'm preparing you people for the future is a very long one and it's tough. Very tough. You know, I just spoke to a lady today. I just counseled a lady today. You know, She came, she was broken. She's married, broken. You know, and after the talk, she was so full of joy and radiance, you know. You know, and she left. She left, I could see she left with new strength, new energy, you know. And I knew that she left with a new resolution to go, you know, to go and succeed. But, you know, the stage I met her, things were, you know, with that stage, left in that stage, things were going to go worse and going to go bad. But after speaking to her and I giving her a fresh perspective of heaven, you know, the heavenly perspective, and I just like breathing a new life into her. Everything changed, 360 degree change, you know. And with that impetus, with that joy and that hope, you know, she left me, said she was going to call her husband. You know, by and by, so this is it. It's tough. You must be very, very tough. Because certain things will come your way. Your ability to handle them determines the next phase of your life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So that is it. You must handle a lot of things. You know, I once had a revelation of this man, Pastor Adeboye. One time God showed me a certain aspect of his life. And the aspect of his life, I saw it. You know, I may not know him, he doesn't know me, I have not seen him in person, but you know, the spirit realm is different. The spirit realm, you relate with people. Spirit relate with spirit. And the aspect of his life I saw was meekness. That one is meek. The glory of that man, everything that you've seen around that man is meekness. And that's what God showed me, you know, a couple of years back. He just showed me, you know, he showed me the man's life, that and meekness, praise the Lord. Meekness, you know, it's not so sometimes there are revelations you can't just explain, but I just tell that I saw it. God took me in the realm of the spirit and I saw it. You know, so there are certain things you see that begin to shape your life. So that no matter what they throw on you, you can take it. How do you explain that they stone you and you still have the audacity to love the same people? You say, Jesus is my example. We'll just say some of these things that in our hearts we are not sincere. That's why I say that the greatest thing, your motive, God must purify. In fact, it's part of the question he wrote that, because I say I'll combine everything. That's why I say you ask everything together. You know, area that need much prayer, your inner motive, God must purify your motive. You know, purify your motive. Where you cannot take decision outside of God. Cannot have issues with my wife and I want to take a decision outside of God. I can't do it. I can't. Even if I do it, it will not last. It will not last 13 hours. You know, I can't because I'm afraid of God. You know, but we have men and women who can take decisions. They are strong. You know, I don't have that strength. That strength must be taken away from you. You know, taken away. I see men having, I don't know where they get their strength. I see people having their problem in their marriages, maybe ministry as a top man in ministry, you know. And then you see, as you are still doing ministry up and down, you're supposed to abandon that ministry and go and settle your issues in your home. Even if it takes you 3 or 4 years, hand over to somebody else. This man did it now, Bishop Ed Long. How many of us know him? He's late now, Bishop Ed Long in US. He had issue with the wife. He had to leave the ministry until he resolved it. After he resolved it, he went back to the ministry. But he too had issue with his wife, you know. I gave everything in and then they resolved it. After resolving it, he came. I saw him on TBN. He said, I don't want what happened to me to happen to you people. He was advising others. So, you know, so this is how, you know, it's key. Especially as a front man, you have become an icon. You have become an example to multitudes all over the whole world. So certain things must not happen to you. You must give it all. Praise the Lord. You know, so these are some of the things you need to know, you know. When you start following the Holy Ghost, then you will be amazed at the things he's going to do in your life. Amen. So I say meekness is the ability to respond to who? Holy Spirit. So not just look at somebody and analyze him. He's so quiet, you know, he's so humble. You do men analysis. Amen. You know, for Jesus, he had to take the cross. Praise the Lord. For Peter, he had to eat that thing that God was dropping down from heaven for him to eat it. Praise the Lord. And for you, it could be so many areas, you know. One day, I had an issue in my office. My junior, you know, someone that could issue a query on. One day, she spoke to me. She spoke somehow to me, you know. And I was so, I felt so offended and everything. So what did I do? You know, I went. You know, I could react at the boss, the boss. I could react from my office or the boss. You know, so Please touch. Don't allow your neighbor to sleep. If you are feeling sleepy, stand up so that you can pace. You can just pace around. So it's my junior got me offended. So what did I do? I went to the toilet and I locked the toilet and I knelt down, and then I prayed. I said, Holy Spirit, help me. You know, praise the Lord. Of course, I could as a boss. This is an office. This is an office has rules and regulations, so I could apply one of the rules. Amen. But I'm learning something. I'm learning working. I'm learning to work with God. Abi, so that when they say you are a demon, when someone say look at this twin, Abi, she just walked into you. Maybe twin now say look at that twin. She has a demon. You know, copper sword you not scatter that day. Amen. Praise the Lord. So she'll still be able to bless that person and still cook and still give that brother to eat. You know, so that's what I'm saying. So I knelt down, I locked the toilet, I knelt down. I said, Holy Spirit, help me. Then one peace just flooded my soul. When I went back to the office, later the person came and said, I'm sorry. I said, don't worry, it's okay. You know, and the friendship continued. So everything could have scattered at that. Abi at that point. So as soon as I prayed that prayer, peace entered into my soul. And I was not offended. You know, I was not offended. So these are some of the things, you know, we need to learn in following, you know, the Holy Spirit. People have done things that are offended, but I just go to God. The issue is not what they did. The issue is that the offense that is rising up in my heart, that is greater than what they say. Amen. It's greater than the insult. It's greater than somebody cheating you. You know, that root of bitterness that is rising up in my heart, that unforgiveness that wants to come, you know, that offense that is rising is, to me, is greater than what the person did. So that one must be taken away. Then, you know, your mind will be sound. You can now relate it, you know, you can handle it in a matured way, in a way that it will please the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. So this is, I think I've handled everything that our young man wrote here. So please, can you appreciate him for having the audacity to even ask? And then can you appreciate the person of the Holy Spirit? He's such a beautiful one. Amen. All right, thank you, God bless you.
My name is Kenjo Ojo. Okay, so I just have a few questions. So the first one is, I want to know, who are your role models? Okay, the second one is, how do you define greatness? So then the last one, okay, like, what do you want to be appreciated for?
Okay, praise the Lord. Thank you, Bro Kendi. Okay, my role model, I have a couple of them. Those, you know, men and women that have helped me, you know, over the years in my spiritual trajectory, you know, in my spiritual journey. A lot of them, those that discipled me. I want to mention Pastor Dan Pele. When I got born again in those days, he was the one that discipled me and taught me the ABCD of Christianity. Being a Muslim, and my type of Muslim is that I didn't know much about Christianity. I didn't know much about Christianity, even men of God. At the time I got born again, I didn't even know, well, most of all these churches, I don't even know their names. Now you can ask a Muslim, he knows living faith, Abi. He knows redeem. I don't know any of those things. I was just a Muslim in my own Muslim world, and you know, not interested in anything else. But when I got born again, so a lot of things were new. He taught me prayer, you know, and I contracted the spirit of prayer from him. Praise the Lord. We're still in the university then. He prays. He will start praying from the middle of the night. We'll all go to class and come back. Come back after lecture, he's still praying. I said, must you always pray? You know, one day, almost defeated in my spirit. You understand? Because every time pray, I said, must you always be this Christian? Must you always pray? I asked him one time, I'm sure he cannot remember again. And he's always studying his Bible. He will tell me that there is no portion of anything you say in the Bible, even if I don't know exactly where it is, but I have an idea of where it is in the Bible. You always say it. You know, so from there too, I contracted, you know, that spirit of prayer, and then the spirit of studying the word. So first and foremost, I want to say he's my role model because he has helped me a lot. Even he was the one after my discipleship. You know, those things he taught me for months, the thing would just be ringing like a bell inside of me. You know, Even till today, I can still quote him verbatim. Some things he said to me. You know, some things he says to me. So, those times, and I was working with them. I was going there. So, Dan Fella is in Lagos. For those of us that are on our platform, Ede Bible Outreaches on WhatsApp, he's there. You see him there too. I added him to that WhatsApp group. He even posted something yesterday concerning my birthday, Dan Fella. Then, I've had Pastor Ralph. Raphael Olumodeji, I've learned so much from him too. This other one was our fellowship pastor, Pastor Dan. So that's why I don't know how they do pastor in fellowship pastorate in the campuses today. But the kind of orientation we had was prayer and the word. He was not a big boy pastor. You know, he was a man of prayer. He's a man that will come and tell you that. During those times was, he'll come and tell you that, he'll come and tell you something now. To that same day or the following day, it will happen. He will tell you that he was praying for the National Assembly. I remember one day he came and told us that, son, the Holy Spirit told us, son, I want to scatter the National Assembly. And shortly after then, they impeached Shuba Okadigbo, who was the senior president. He told us that he was praying for Nigeria, praying for NMPC, praying for, you know, then praying for the National Assembly. And the Holy Spirit told us, son, I want to scatter the National Assembly. And shortly after that, they impeached Shuba Okadigbo. You know, I remove him as the Senate president. So, you know, things like that. Then another person again too, Apostle Emmanuel Onwaro. How many of us know him? He has come for our retreat. Apostle Emmanuel Onwaro is a role model, he's a man of prayer. Praise the Lord. Yes, you know, I've not seen a man that prays like him. Apostle Onwaro. Yes. Pastor. So these are, there are some men you can follow. Amen. So you can follow Apostle Nwaro. So Pastor Ma is a man of prayer. And then he's a man that can do anything for God. His obedience is 100%. God, I think the Holy Spirit led him into fasting since 2012. How many years ago? 6 years. He's still fasting as of today. For the past 6 years. Yes. Yeah, open him out. 2012. He's still fasting up to today. Doesn't know when to break. Praise the Lord. Those are the men that the Holy Ghost say go until he say stop. They just keep going. So those are the kind of men I follow. You know, Bro Tayo too has inspired me. Tayo Joram is a missionary. I'm sure a lot of us know him. These are people that have left all to follow the master. Then I also have some people that are distant, people like one man that have influenced me a lot and influenced my teaching, my doctrine, my teaching a lot is Rejoiner. Amen. Please can we appreciate him? How many of us know Rejoiner? He's my papa, full blood papa in the spirit. He's a prophet in US. Rejoiner. He wrote The Final Quest, The Call, a lot of things. And I've read his material today. I read almost every day I read from him. I read his daily devotional, his word for the week. So Rejoiner, he has helped me a lot. You know, a lot. He has helped me a lot in the spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. So Rejoiner, people like E.M. Bones, I've had them. He is an apostle of prayer. He wrote a lot of books about prayer. E.M. Bones is a man, as you are reading him, you burst into prayer. Because even in his book, even if you carry the book, the spirit of prayer is on the book. This on the book, the spirit of prayer is there. E.M. Bones. He has written so much on prayer. So, yeah, power to prayer a lot. So, these are the men, E.M. Bones. Go and look for it. Buy books. So, and the host of so many of them that I cannot tell. Are you okay? So, these are my role models. How do you define greatness? You know, I've told us again and again, nobody, there is no definition for success. And there is no straight single definition for greatness. No man should define greatness to you. And no man should define success to you. Praise the Lord. Because nobody knows the details of your life. Nobody knows your assignment on earth. So how can they define success to you? What is success to one man will not be success to you. What in another thing that man is great in, that he may not be greatest to you. Praise the Lord. Because success, greatness is simply align yourself to the will of the master and doing what is his will. Look at John the Baptist. Today, John the Baptist will be called a failure. Praise the Lord. Today, John the Baptist will be called a failure. But Jesus looked at the same man and said, no man born of a woman is greater than this man called John the Baptist. How did he even end? At the end of his ministry, they caught him and they cut off his head. I even had people in our own days, I still argue that he died a shameful death. That they cannot die the way John the Baptist died. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes. I've had people say that and argue this. So, look at the way John the Baptist, and then look at the way some people did their life but, you know, God testified to their life. So, nobody should define, you see, greatness in life is the assignment that God has for you. Somebody else, God will make him to sit over a nation. Somebody will sit, that you have 6 million congregation did not say you are great. So, you know, so now, as ministry now, maybe your congregation, maybe you are 50 men, Abby. You are sitting over 50 men, right? There's this sense of inferiority complex when you see a man that has a congregation of 50,000. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. No, this is it. So, God might have called you. Your work might be simple. You know, call you to mentor a few people. God might have called you to mentor like a crowd or something. So, those things does not define greatness or success. Now, how do we measure men of God? By the volume of the followers that you have. Or the testimony that is around you. Praise the Lord. Nobody knows the measure of grace that you have. To one man was given 10 talents. To another man was given 5 talents. If you want to rate them, who is greater? According to men. The man that had the 10. But this man was given only 5. He multiplied his own 5 to become 10. This man multiplied his own 10 to become 20. One man was given just 1. If he multiplied his own to become just 2. His 2 does not even equal to the 1 that this other man was giving 5. Before even double it to become 10. But all of them will get the same reward from God. So what I'm saying is simple, that you find out what God has for you in your life, then go ahead and do it. Praise the Lord. Go ahead. There were people that labored only once on one soul. There was this woman, Margaret Baba, in China. She was European. She left Europe and she went to China. She discipled a lot of Chinese people. But one man that lady disciple was Washman Nee, Margaret Baba. Washman Nee. Nobody had her name, but Washman Nee's name is everywhere. She left Europe, she never married. She left every sacrifice marriage, sacrificed everything on the altar. And she went to China and discipled and trained a lot of Chinese boys. And one of them is Washman Nee. Her reward is in heaven. She's not known on earth, but she's a beacon and an icon in heaven. Praise the Lord. How do you define greatness? Washman Nee is known everywhere. He's a great man of God. But this Margaret Baba is an unknown name. Praise the Lord. But only God knows who is greater between she and Washman Nee. Who had loved the most and had given the most sacrifice. Praise the Lord. So this is a clean and a classical example. God can send you from here, you know, to another nation. Just because you do other things. So. But I told you about the heart of the call, right? I told you about the heart of the calling. Maybe the heart of the calling might just meet and tutor and disciple this one man. That will be an apostle to the whole world. So you finding out your assignment and doing it. So that is how you define greatness. So don't be intimidated in life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't be intimidated in life. Live a fulfilled life with the Holy Spirit. Live a life of joy. You know, be happy in the moment. You know, have joy in the things that you do. You know, take delight, take pleasure in them. Praise the Lord. And then congratulations, those of you that are from Redeemed Christian Church of God, your 50-day fasting has ended yesterday. Right? Right? Congratulations. So, you can eat this morning. Amen. Then, what do you want to be appreciated for? Of course, a man that loves God with the whole of his heart. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, I want to be remembered as somebody that loved God. That it is possible to love God in the midst of all. And in spite of all. To still maintain our love for Him. Amen. So that's all. Please, sorry, I want to add something. Now I was talking about greatness. This man, in his book, either the final quest or the call, God took him to heaven. And God took him to heaven. And then, in that experience, he saw the throne. And people seated on the throne. And he saw that the people that were seated in the highest throne in heaven, the majority of them were people that were unknown names on earth. Their names were not known on earth. The majority of the people that were seated on the greatest throne in heaven, praise the Lord, that on earth most of them were not known. And he said majority of the people he saw there, the majority of them were women and children. Praise the Lord. Yeah, you see, women and children. And I want to give you a testimony of one of those children. In Romania, if you've read this man, Tortured for Christ, there's something happened in the book in Romania. In Romania, you know, there was a time during this communist movement in the 40s and in the 30s, communism. So communism, Russia invaded Romania. Romania is a country in Europe. They invaded Romania. When they invaded Romania, you know, when they invade a nation like that, they will stamp out the church. They believe in the state. All these churches, they don't believe in those in the state. You know, the state is supreme. Only communist country. So when they invaded Romania, so they started persecuting pastors, Christians, and everything. They started throwing them into prison. That's when they threw this man into prison. What's his name? Richard Wurmbrand. That man that wrote Tortured for Christ. If you can read that book, you can read it. So he said when they were torturing them, they tortured a lot of them, tortured people to death. So they caught one pastor, one of these men of God, they caught him. So when they caught him, so they arrested his family. And then they were beating his young boy. The boy was 12 years old. And the man refused to deny Christ. It's in that book, Tortured for Christ, you can read it. So when they were beating this boy, the man refused to deny, so they were now beating his family. So the boy is 12 years old, so they were beating the boy and they asked his father to deny Christ. You know, if it was him, if it was the father, you know, if you are beating me, it's a different thing than when you are beating my son. So then the father was now tempted. He was now tempted. Then the boy was 12 years old. The boy had suffered. They driven him from school. They were persecuted, but he refused to deny Christ. So now they were tortured. They were beating him. So he now told his father that he should not do it. When his father was, he saw that the father was contemplating. He said, "I will not have a coward." He told the father, "I will not have a coward as my father." That's what and they beat the boy. I think they tortured him, and the boy died. Praise the Lord. So that boy will be seated on the highest throne in heaven. I said the boy was 12 years old. Amen. Praise the Lord. Some of us adults are still struggling to fast. What is fasting? Leave food in the morning and eat it in the evening. Some of us are struggling with night vision. Praise the Lord. Night vision is just during the night hours, maybe to do some spiritual exercises. It's still a struggle. Amen. This boy was tortured to death. So the boy was 12 years old. You still love God? Jesus Christ. He said, "I will not have a coward as my father." So he said, most of the people he saw sitting on the throne were children. There were a lot of children that refused to deny. The Sheba girls, some of them that left the captivity, they said it now that some of those children that refused to accept Islam, they were killed. Those Sheba girls, they killed some. Because they were still small girls, maybe 12 years, 13, 14 years. Some of them refused to accept Islam, and they killed them. And not only a lot of children that Boko Haram has killed, they refused to accept Islam. They would rather die. Praise the Lord. So this is Christianity. It's real. The faith is real. So let's stand up, you know, for it. Okay, thank you. God bless you.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
My name is Mohammed Olorunfemi. I just have one question, sir. Sir, over the years in your ministry, I just want to know how you have managed family and ministry.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. That's Bro Mohammed. How many of us had this question? You didn't hear. He said, over the years, in the course of ministry, how have I managed family and ministry? Right? Okay. Yes, God has helped me. Everything has its place. He said, everything has its place in God, you know. So, ministry is from God. Marriage and family is from God. Then work, you know, apart from ministry, maybe you have a vocation you are doing. Everything is from God. So, and everything can interrelate and they have their place. So, it's your ability to know their place and fix everything in the right place. Praise the Lord. I'm committed to ministry, and I'm super committed to my family. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I don't allow one to injure the other. So I don't allow my family life to injure the ministry life, and I don't allow the ministry life to injure the family life, because the ministry is part of the family, and then the family is part of the ministry. So you don't, so that you not just put them in different compartments. You can see the ministry is part of the family. The family is part, is also the ministry. What to call the ministry also, the family itself. Praise the Lord. So I'm committed to my family, and I give them time. I create time for them. Number one is time. Everything every family requires is time. Most of the people that have had issue with, some minister that have had, I had issue with divorce. That divorce and broken home, most of them complain of time. They will tell you the man does not have time for them. Then I also learned early in following God. I know two of them that had issue was time. When Benny had his own issue, part of the thing they why complain about is time. Praise the Lord. Then even a popular pastor in Nigeria, when he had his issue, they really complain of neglect. Neglect. And it's real. Neglect. It's real. You can get carried away by ministry. If you don't understand that family too is what? Means if you just separate them and you just be, you know. I learned some, this man wrote a book, The Victorious Christian Path. I don't know if some of us are writing some of those books down. If you can see it to buy it, I'm sure it's available. The name of that man is Alan Redpath. You know what he said? God was using this man all over the world. Europe, South Africa, everywhere. He said, well, I read his book. You know, and that book helped me a lot. I was in the university then. You know what happened to him? You know, he was healing people. He was moving in the supernatural. Then he now contracted stroke. Stroke. He said, where did he come from? Stroke. He now praying and he started praying. Then God, one day God now told him. He said, because you neglected your family. That's what God told him. So when he began to make a U-turn, then God started healing him. You can read the book, The Victorious Christian Path. The name of that man is Alan Redpath. No, that is a man that God, you know, sometimes God goes beyond you to show you mercy. Just like a young man that refused to get born again. When he contracted HIV, his eye will clear. You now repent, he knows that he knows that the D-Day is coming. Abby? You know, Paul said that some people were so stubborn that he had to deliver them to Satan. That Satan will destroy their body so that their spirit can be saved. It's better, this body will be destroyed, Abby. You die untimely. But in their spirit will be saved. Which one is better? Will you have a brother that will live 100 years and go to hell? But let your brother live 25 years and go to heaven. Which one will you pick? Eh? It is simple mathematics. Paul said this one, they were so stubborn. He said that I had to deliver them to Satan. So that Satan can destroy their body, but their spirit. So by the time Satan starts dealing with them, they will repent. Amen. If the Holy Ghost deal with you and you don't repent, but by the time Satan deals with them, they will repent. So, praise the Lord. That's what is in your Bible. So, that's sometimes it's messy. Sometimes anything that happens to us is messy. So, he make a U-turn, he started caring for his family, then he now wrote that book, The Victorious Christian Path, Alan Redpath. So, why he neglected his family? He said it. He was sincere enough to tell us. So, praise the Lord. So, can you see the mix between family and ministry? You know? Now, let me tell you certain things. It's not all right. There was a time, you know? There was a time, man. You know, I fell into it. Sometimes I'll leave work. I'll go to work from morning to night. I'll not come home till 12 midnight. Because you are ministering. You know, you want to minister to this one, minister to this, minister to like that. And I was breaking down my health. So I was breaking down too often. And by the time I break down, it's my wife that will carry the load. You know, she has advised me, I was not listening. Praise the Lord. You understand? So she's like that. So then one day, 2014, this happened, 2013 or 2014. So one day, you know, then you must have people in your life. If you are a married man or a married woman, you must have people in your life that can tell you, sit down, you sit down. People that can talk to you and you listen. Then your spouse must know those people. Praise the Lord. My wife knows people she can talk to. That when they call me, when they call me, I will sit down. When they call me, I will listen. And I've seen people that got married, that they married to people that nobody can talk to them. One even told me that even if God, he cannot even listen to God. True, a Christian. Eh? that nobody, okay, you say he's not a Christian. I agree with you. Okay, he goes to church. You know, that nobody. No, I said, okay, who can talk to this person? Who can talk? Nobody. He said, you know, the pastor, the church, he said they cannot even talk to him. He has outgrown everybody. So, praise God. I said, young lady, please, if you are marrying anybody, If you scan the person's life, there is nobody that he trembles before. It's no go area. Nobody that he trembles before. There is nobody over the person's life. The guy is just floating. I have people on hand now. I'm counseling. I have people I'm still talking to now. People like that. You know, okay, who can help? Nobody. You know, they have their own ideas. You know, when you leave, when somebody that after the man leave, say go back to your wife. When they are man, go back and they will go back. Asking no question, not the holy a man, go back to your family, and then you go back. So the same thing for ladies too. So what am I saying? You know, I fell into that trap. I want to tell you now how God helped me. So after I talked to her, so one day my wife now, she met Brotayo Jeremy, and then she now reported me to Brotayo. Now look at this, and she was crying. She was crying, amen. You know, she was crying, she reported to Brotayo. So that same day Brotayo came to my house and he sat down here. And that same day as I was coming from work, I now bright saw, you know, look at it. That time, look at my life. We do one prayer meeting in church. We call it, there was one prayer meeting we started. I think I started it in church, you know, prayer meeting. But later, I think, when I was the one handling prayer in church, 6 to 9 tongues, praise the Lord. I was the one handling prayer in church. So I started tongues every Wednesday, 6 to 9. We pray in tongues on Wednesday in church. So as I leave work, I'm going straight to that prayer meeting. Some of you did not. How many of us made that meeting? Only gift. I think I left prayer band. I stopped handling prayer band in church. I was handling the men fellowship and prayer band. So I started that prayer meeting. So but after I left the prayer unit, somebody else took over. You know, so the meeting stopped. So Wednesday, I go to Abby prayer meeting 6 to 9. So before I get to the house, it's what? 10 o'clock. On Thursday, the following day, we have vigil in the house. Abby, 2 out of 5 work. Abby, I have 5 working days. Then the other days, sometimes I may be talking to some families that have issue. I may be talking to 10, 11. I come from 12. Yes. You know, reason. So that day, Brotayo was here. So I went my wife, so he now came to the house. I was now waiting for me. That day they called me. My wife called me. Say, where am I? I said, I'm bright to see somebody. I'm coming. Then Brotayo now say, you know, I say, I'm coming. I'll soon be in the house. You know, like that. So then later Brotayo now called me. That is wait. That is waiting. That Brotayo is in the house. That is waiting for me. I said, okay, I'm coming. So I had to shorten my visit. You know, visit, and I came to the house, and then now started talking to me. He now started talking to me, gave me his experience in ministry, you know, like that. So, and then after that day, praise the Lord, I'm not somebody who talked to me 2 times. After that day, and that was the end. So that was the end. So I had to stop some of those. I had to shut it down. So most times I want to talk to people, I have to ask them to come to the house. Praise the Lord. Like the day now, you say you want to see me, you have a burning issue, you want to tell me, I want to listen to you. So as I'm coming to work, I say, okay, meet me, so meet me, Mr. Biggs. Or let's meet in church. Let's meet in church. By the time we finish talking, by the time has gone. Praise the Lord. So I have to now sit down and devise another means. So what I do now, maybe on Tuesdays or some days, there are some days that I don't see anybody. If I leave work, I come straight to the house. Like on Mondays, on Wednesdays, on Fridays. Those days, I just came straight to see my family. Praise the Lord. Then maybe like on some Tuesday. That's why most times I give you appointment, I give you for like Tuesday or something. Like, you know, when you wanted to see me, I told you to come over to the house that I'm busy. So yeah, you come to the house, all of us were here. I see. So I now reschedule my program. So I have to now start creating more time for my. It's not as if I was not giving them time before, but there are some things that I was so passionate. And my passion was not allowing me to see reality. It's sometimes your passion can blind your eyes, you know, and can blind your true sense of judgment. So that was what happened to me. So that was my own example. So Brotayo spoke to me, like, and since that day, you know, and I had to make a lot of adjustments. But I give a lot of time to my family. You know, they are number one priority in my life. Praise the Lord. So for instance, and then there are things I do. You know, and then there are things I do, like we don't have house help. Just myself and my wife and my kids. Then Mama, I used to be with us, and Sister Gift now, and sometimes Gift, she went to serve for 1 year. She could leave anytime, you know, she could get a call, she could travel, but for some time she's been around helping us. So basically, I do domestic chore too. Praise the Lord. Yes, eh? Yeah, like, I do domestic chore. If I wake up like today now, after this meeting today now, before I go to work now, I'll still bath my three children before I go to work. I'll wake them, I'll bath them, you know, sometimes. Then maybe weekends, you know, I'll make breakfast for them. So there are things I do. So in the midst of, now, share we are doing vigil now. We'll finish vigil. Maybe I'll go and rest. You'll rest my head for like 1 hour. I'll still wake up early and take care of my household. You read the Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman. But nobody talks about the virtuous man. It's not to sit down, cross your leg and be watching TV, you know. Yes, cross your leg. So you must, you know, you must be part of the house. So sometimes, you know, like that. So basically, those are some of the things I do. You know, sometimes just myself. Before I go to work, I go to work very, very early. Sometimes before I go to work, sometimes people are around the house, they can help. But sometimes, I used to have a help. He has gone to school now, Isaac. You know, it was our domestic staff, but he has gone back to school. And after that, I say I will not take any other person. So sometimes I wake up very early, I'll wash my wife's car, and then bath the kids, and then I'll now go to work. So everything must have its own place. I wake up very early, so I'll shorten my prayer, you know, or sometimes I wake much earlier, like that, so to do certain things. So life is sacrifice. Praise the Lord. So it's not about just providing for the household. There are things you must do, you know. So, and that way, by the time I do that, it create a platform for me to interact with my children. Not that I go to very early, maybe they are sleeping, you've gone to work. By the time you are coming, they are sleeping again. No. By the time I wake them up, you know, I'll wake them, I'll on the gen, if there's no light, I'll play music for them. Samuel was here. She saw they were all dancing. I will play music for them. All of us will be dancing, you know, dancing all these keys, gospel songs. So early hours in the morning, I'll on the gen, I'll play it for them. I'll use it to wake them up. I bath them, they are washing it, you know, like that, we're interacting. So it's a forum for me to interact and fellowship with my children. You know, I wake them up. So I took that upon myself. Sometimes my wife says she'll leave it and she'll do it. I say, don't worry, you know. So and I do that, and then she will appreciate it as a woman. Praise the Lord. You know, so I help her a lot. Then the things I could do. So those are some of the things. Don't just be the man. Be involved in your family life. Then be involved in the home. Praise the Lord. Yes, be involved in the home. It's not that the woman should just serve you. You should also learn to serve the woman. That is it. Don't just be the man, this and that, and the ego, like, I provide for my hand. There's nothing she's lacking. Those are the things that her man tells me. And then she doesn't lack anything. She everything she wants. I change her car. And no, you didn't marry her to buy her car. You married her to love her. And part of what is embedded in love is service. Praise the Lord. Sometimes I say, but I'm going to do picnic. I cook for all of them. You know, I tell my wife to sit down. I'll cook whatever I can cook. It's Friday, I'm going to do. No, that one is easy. I'll do Friday, I'll do egg, you know. Most weekends, if I wake up, my wife does not do breakfast. I will stand up and I'll do breakfast. I'll ask her, what does she want? I'll fry the egg. I will give, my sister is here. I'll fry the egg. I say she wants tea. And I'll bring the food to her in the room there. You know, and she thanks me and everything. And there's nothing she cannot do for me. You know, so if I ask her to do the same thing 20 times in a day, she will do it. So this is how you can have a good home. Praise the Lord. This is how you can have a good home so that there will not be wall. You know, there will not be dividing wall. You know, anybody can just do anything. You can do anything for her. She can do anything for me. There is nothing my wife cannot do for me because there is no extent I cannot go for her. Go for her and go for her family. You know, and so those are some of the things you must learn to do. So you must learn to help. Most of the time when you get married, help the woman. I read Kenneth Hagin's book now. You know, he used to say that early in the morning, Kenneth Hagin was a man that operated so much in the supernatural. He said he's the one that makes breakfast in the house. If he wakes up in the morning, this is a man that can pray from morning to from night to morning. You know, study Bible from night to morning. Then in the morning, instead of him to go out and say, I want to go out, no. He said in the morning he'll stop whatever he's doing, he's going to make breakfast for the whole family. Kenneth E. Hagin. So, you know, this African mentality is in our DNA. If you don't see it, it will destroy you. It will destroy your marriage. It's there. Even we born again, it's there. He said, be transformed by renewing your mind. Every culture differs. Urebo culture differs from African culture. It's there. It's in so many men. This African, you know, men. An African man wake up and sweep the floor when the wife is there. He won't do that. When my children eat, I will carry broom and sweep the floor. You know, he says, there are some things that you don't even see. They are not even conscious of it. Because it has become a life. When they eat, I could pack the plate, I could just sweep everywhere and everything like that, you know. So those are some of those things that African man carry broom and bend his waist. The waist cannot bend, you know. So those are some, there are certain things you just, you know why? I am showing my son, I'm showing him the future. And I'm showing him how to live. I'm showing my son how to treat a woman. And I'm demonstrating it practically. Can you see discipleship? Can you see tutorship? You know? So that he cannot grow up and maltreat the woman. Because your destiny is in how you handle the woman. There's still a message I'm still going to preach. The title of that message is called The Woman. The Woman. You know? I'll open deep mystery from the book of Genesis. Ancient mysteries. You know, the woman. Because the destiny of the man is tied around the woman. How you handle the woman. I say you're dead like a revolving door, like a revolving ball. How you handle the woman? He said, I'm a witness between you and the wife of your youth. That's what God said in Malachi. Praise you. So I don't joke with the woman. One day I was praying in this place, and you know what the Holy Spirit told me? He said, your wife is my covenant to you. So I'm not just handling the woman, I'm handling God's covenant. He says, it's my covenant. It's a covenant I gave you. So beyond that, maybe my wife, maybe Grace. Grace greeted me in the morning. She did not greet. You know, she put, there's no pepper in the food. There's pepper in the food. It's beyond that. When you are handling the woman, you are handling the covenant of your God. Can you see light? Can you see truth? If there is a root of bitterness and anger, it will just die. You know, so life is deeper than we handle it on a surface level. Everything we do here, we are going to get eternal reward. Praise the Lord. Everything you do here, you are going to get what? You are going to get eternal reward. Everything you suffer for Him. Everything you endure. And everything you also enjoy for Him. You are going to get eternal. You are going to get eternal reward. Before I got married, I lifted up my hand to heaven. That this home, I'm going to keep it. Come what may. It's not in my strength, but I know the Holy Ghost will help me. So even if they remove one of my leg, I'll still hang on to it. Before I even met the woman. Even if they chop two of my and I have to be on the wheelchair, you know, I say, Holy Ghost help me. He said, when you marry, it is God's covenant. It's not a man's covenant. How do you say it? You know, all of us come and say it now. How do you say it when you don't mean it? To marry for better, for worse. Until then, to do and then something happens, you start this one, you start beginning to. People can do it too. God can even accept it too and okay it for them. But it depends on what you are pursuing in heaven. It depends on what you are running after. Some people say, let me just enter heaven. Abi, I cannot run the same race with a man that say, let me just sneak in. Even if for them, don't even open the door. Just open it a bit, let me just sneak in. But some people say, Peter said, an abundance entrance will be open to some people. That when you are coming, they will herald your coming. Yes, when you are coming, there will be, you know, this red carpet treatment. Yes, he said, now it's in store for me a crown of righteousness. You know, which will be given to me and everything. So some people want to enter heaven like that. That man cannot run the same race with a man that said that I may make heaven. Let me just enter. Praise the Lord. So we are running on different pedestals. So there are some people you can even counsel them, package them together, you know, certain things like that. But you, for you, it's not acceptable. Praise the Lord. Israel could complain, but for Moses, it's not acceptable. What Israel did, and they could do it and still enter the promised land. Moses will do it, will not enter. It's only just simple. Amen. Those men committed fornication and they got by with it. Moses did not even need to go near there. He just needed to be angry. Praise the Lord. So there are different things that apply to different of us. So you can't run another man's race. So that's why I say different things apply to all of us. So you know what you are what? Pursuing. Praise the Lord. So I cannot endeavor to allow my family to fall down. That's why I go to any extent to serve my children and to serve my wife. Amen. And to preserve what? The union, the emotional integrity, you know, and the emotional union and the emotional well-being and the spiritual well-being, you know, of my family and of my home. Praise the Lord. I don't open up my wife, my mouth on my wife. Never. You know, like that, yes. Maybe she does something that I may not be okay with it, but, you know, I have learned it over the years of working with God that, and the Holy Ghost helping me, that I cannot just talk to my wife anyhow. I may not be happy about it and everything. I'll just leave it. Then sometimes God, certain things that you may not even be happy about, nothing is even wrong. It's just you see certain things from another perspective. I'm telling you, you know, why didn't you do this thing since? You ought to have done this thing. It will generate into argument. I don't know those things. God has helped me beyond those dimensions of life. So I've learned it over the years. I have told myself not to talk anyhow to the woman. Praise the Lord. Yes, you know. Not to speak anyhow over the covenant. Abby? This is what I have told myself. So I began, even if I need to correct her, if I'm not in the frame of mind to talk now, I wait. Then later I can say whatever I want to say. You know, so those are, I can say whatever, but I'm going to say it from a right spirit. Not in the sense of anger, I could just correct her. Okay, these are some of the things you need to keep. You need to learn it. You need to learn it. It takes time. It's not going for one prayer meeting and you come back. You start working in it. You need to learn it, you know. You need to learn it. You need to learn it. Oh, but there are a lot of things that could get you, you know, to get you upset. Small things like that. Those are things. Somebody told me now that I think that cause quarrel between married people. I think that you are even ashamed to say it outside. There are small things that look so irrelevant. I'm most married couple. So these are things, if you don't learn some of these things, you know, it's going to affect you, you know. It's going to affect you when you get married. Praise the Lord. So that is how I've been able to maintain the balance. I create time. I say the number one is what? Time. You know, then service. You know, I'm able to serve my family too. I don't just serve people all over the whole world and not serve my family. I serve them. You know, I do a lot of things for them. I create time, I serve them, of course, and I love them. I provide for them and, you know, I give them priority. Even to the extent of cooking, it's not every time I work my wife for, it's not every time I allow her to cook. That is me. I'm not saying she should go and do that, you know. It's not every time I allow her to cook. Sometimes I say, wait, you know. Sometimes I could be coming from work, I could buy certain things that I'm going to eat it tonight, you know. So that because we'll come back, we'll do assignment for, we have three children, we'll do assignment for them. Every time I do assignment, do like that. I say, so sometimes I don't allow her to cook. I say, okay, don't worry, I'll buy, like this night now, when I was coming, some people say they were going to buy food for me. What do I want to eat for my birthday? I say, if you are going to buy anything, I'm going to buy it for two people. So she bought it, she went to one big hostel there, in Ondo, she bought the food, take away. And I called my wife that I'm going to bring food to the house. Then I bought some, all this fish, this fish pepper soup, plenty that they bought, I bought. So I brought all those things. That was what all of us ate here, together with Sister Gil. So we didn't cook. Praise the Lord. So we didn't cook. So sometimes we just take it easy. So you know, I've seen a lady has spoken that when both of them go back to work, you know. But that is when you all manner of, you know, even cooking, you must, there's a way you must manage it, you know. You must show a kind of empathy. There was one man that was training us one time. He told us about a family friend in Lagos. They went to work. They came back around 10. And what did the man say? Want to eat beans? He said, I want to eat beans. So they were so tired. Of course, the woman, you know, woman, you have been taught submission. So she went to the kitchen. Now listen, the story, you've not gotten the story yet. Listen, she went to the kitchen to cook beans. After cooking the beans, after the man finished eating the beans, you know, the woman would have been so tired and worn out. He had a lot of energy, so he was now removing his belt. The woman said, if you need... Yes, you know, he was not removing his belt, you know. He still want to come and sleep with her. They came back 10. He said they want to eat beans. You know, you have to pick. You know, if you ask you, it's okay, let's mix rice within 30 minutes while you are doing other things. You know, like, nothing stops you yourself from entering the kitchen to put rice on fire. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, like that. So, do that. You still know that you still want another thing. You understand? So, after cooking beans, it's a true life story. He now went to start with this. So, you can see the woman now react now. You now say she's disobedient, she's not submissive, she's not there. But that is by and large. So, we must be empathy. So, it's a balance of so many things. So, praise the Lord. Sometimes we'll have stew now. I'll go to the house, I'll put rice on fire. You know, we'll have stew, I'll put rice on fire. It is things you can do in the home. It's not just about I provide everything you need. I gave you a car, I gave you this, you have your house. What do you lack? It's beyond that. Praise the Lord. He that must be first of all must be what? For the men, I like talking to the men because, of course, you know, it's the traditional role of the woman. It's not the traditional role of the man. But I want to apply it to the man. He that must be first must be the servant of who? Does that include his children? Does that include his wife? God bless you.
Praise God. Praise God. My name is Ogundimu Samuel. Actually, let me say, a few times ago, I had this message and I wanted to put a balance to it. Then, probably I will ask my question direct. So I heard something about this issue of career, jobs and everything. I heard that those things are just pathways to fulfilling your purpose in life. So wherever you find yourself, probably in the banking industry, or you are with governments, you are doing your own business on your own, it's just a pathway to fulfilling purpose in life. So my question to you, Pastor, is that probably when you were small, this issue of I want to be a doctor, I want to be a lawyer, did you have things of such to before? Okay, like you said in the meeting, when you came around for choir program the other day, you were like, when you wrote exams for the Zenith Bank thing and God told you, you will get the job. Prior that time, what were your plans? Like, I would have just predicted that probably you would just go to a seminary school and just turn out to be a pastor, things like that. But what were your plans before this thing? Thank you very much, sir.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, that question is on point. You know, when I gave my life to Christ in the university, I was already studying accounting. I'm not the Bello University Zaria. Give my life to cry. Okay. Even if from that school, Abby. No wonder. Okay. Praise the Lord. So, actually, I wanted to be a missionary. You know, I wanted to be a missionary. I wanted to serve God. I didn't want to do anything, work or something. That's why I didn't have a CV. Even after my NYC, I didn't have a CV. Because I wanted maybe a mission field or something. But, you know, there was something that has helped me over the years. I said, God, you know, this was my desire, you know, this zeal. But I said, I want to do your will for my life on it. I can do anything. You know, if you want me to live inside the bush for the rest of my life and not see any human being or something, I'm ready. But if you want me to live in the White House, you know, in the American White House, I'm ready. I just want to do your will. So I've understood that in working with God, that what matters is God's will, you know. So, but in my me thinking that maybe it's going to be, I'm just going to do ministry and everything. So, but when I left school, my sister prepared my CV, you know, drop it here and there. Then my dad too, you know, was trying to maybe with my siblings trying to get me a job here and there. And I was having jobs. Doors were just opening on their own accord. Praise the Lord. Just were just opening on their own accord. People want, even people that hardly know, when they meet me, they want to give me work. Praise the Lord. You know, there's an oil of favor that can follow a man. Directors of, they say, I'll meet them for the first time. Even when I got my job in Zenith, they were calling in Abuja to come and pick a job. Up to today, I didn't ask him what was the job. But when I got this Zenith on, the Holy Spirit now spoke to me that I was going to get that job. I want to work in Zenith. So, and that was how the whole thing went. I did the test. The following day, went for the interview. He told me I'm going to get this job. You know, and then Even before they even went for Zenith test or something, you know, he told me I was going to get it. That this Zenith test, I'm going to get the job. So, and one thing is that the one thing that helped me of developing my relationship with the Holy Spirit over time, you know, so I could easily get the mind of God, you know, concerning my life or things about me. So I'm going to get the job. So, and I'll be sincere with you, God is my witness, you know. When I wanted to get a job, you know, I said, God, I don't want to miss you. I don't want to miss your will. I started crying. So, praise the Lord. You know, I started crying because all my mind was to go and be a missionary or to go and do something, but I was still open to His will. God is my witness, I cried. That hope this thing, I'm not going to, this is not going to be the end of my my spiritual life, you know, but I've seen God's glory even in the course of my job. So, you know, there's an aspect of God I did not understand before. I had a mindset in that all those ones working for money tonight, they cannot serve God very well. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I just had that wrong mindset in, as a young man in university. You know, those that are serving God are those that you are not, you know, full time. But I've come to understand that that is not the case. He says serving God is simply working with the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. And what is ministry? Ministry is not a living scroll ministry or eat the Bible or global outreaches evangelism.com. No. Ministry, I've defined ministry. Ministry is following who? The Holy Spirit. What is ministry? Ministry is following the Holy Spirit. That's all. Jesus said, follow me. You're just aligning and just following God. As He tells you, I am, you know, the next phase of your life, the next phase of your life. Then people will come and write books out of your life. So that's how it is. So that was how. So when I got the job and I see God now, it is because I got a job that I got to Akure, that everything that's been done and been done over this land, I'm meeting you, you meeting me, and we sitting down in this meeting today, it is because of that part. Praise the Lord. So as at the time God was leading me, you know, a couple of years back to take the job and everything, I didn't see you. You know, you didn't see me. All of us did not know. Look at us today. So that is how God works. He knows tomorrow. Just follow Him. If I was to follow, okay, ministry means I will like just jump into one something. But I just followed Him. He led me into the banking sector. You know? Have you had one of my even spiritual mentor that even he was, I know he may not say certain things like that again, you know. He was saying even bankers today are even pastor. What can a pastor? He's a man you guys respected so much. If I mention his name, you know, I used to go and listen to him. He's like a mentor. He's like, even bankers as if a pastor, you know, of course, he was into full time, so he never knew. But God can use you anywhere. Daniel was an administrator. Daniel was busy. The whole Babylon controlled the whole world. So you can imagine 127 provinces, and Daniel was the third in the kingdom. As he prayed seven times, he was so busy at the affairs of the king. It was, you know, Daniel. So can you see Daniel? And yet Daniel is one of the finest prophets in the Bible. One prophet that did not have his thing. There's no Caleb. Elijah, you know, like, okay, say Elijah. I'm the only one left. God said, I have 7,000. Daniel is one man that walked with God, then there is no stain. If you mention Samuel, it's okay, his children. But Daniel was one man that there was no what? Stain. Elisha, he said he caused some children, Abby, and a wolf come and... But Daniel is one man that there is no point. Daniel. So, these are some of the Abraham, father of faith. You talk about Ishmael, you know. Not for Ishmael. But this one, Daniel, there is no what? Point. And yet, he was a man in his secular house. So any vocation you do, praise the Lord. You can even be, I've come to know that even as a president of Nigeria, you can have a walk with God that is on point. I'm telling you. So, there is no limitation in God. So, I want us to understand that any vocation, anywhere you are, anywhere you live, whether in America, whether in UK, whether in Ghana, whether in the bush, whether in the city. Because he said, where can I go from your spirit? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I ride on the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the earth, you are there. If I say this, if I say darkness should cover me, you are there. You know, if I should make my bed in hell and dwell in hell, he said, even there your hand will find me and then your right hand will guide me. So even if you go and tabernacle in hell, if you are living in hell today, the Holy Ghost can still lead you there. That's what the psalmist say. So there are no limitations in God. So it's a sweet calling. And it's a sweet word. Praise the Lord. Okay.
Okay, so that's what I want to say. I want to say, okay, so he says you tell us, Abby. So we should hear. Are you hearing? So we say we have heard. And may the Lord help us and make us not just hearer of this truth and of this light, but be doers of these things. Actually, it's not easy. But you always hear what is there. You know, he always underscore one statement there. You know, just the same statement, you know, Paul will make. He said, oh, I can do all this. Oh, all this was a question. But it's the Spirit of God that is helping me. And that is why one of the things we should always convert every time, every day, is the fullness of the Spirit of God in us to really help us so well. There are too much things about Sarah. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. So even as we are enjoying ourselves and you know, exercising our teeth and the mouth, we are ready. We are rounding off already. We'll be rounding off now.
All right, praise the Lord.
Because of our time, I'm going to give opportunity to two sisters. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Sorry, from the onset, I wanted to ask this question, but I was trying to frame it. It was just some minutes ago that your thing came together. So, one of the things that is a big challenge to people generally, especially to young people, is striking a balance between everything that we are faced with in life, everything that we have to do, like our careers and the things we have passion for and all that, striking a balance and then working effectively with God. For example, now you work in a bank and then you still find time to pray the way you pray, like study the way you study, and you know, do all of this research, like find out things about, delve deep into God like that. So I just want you to just share from your wealth of experience how you balance everything, how you go about it, so we can learn from it.
Praise the Lord. That's my younger sister there, Sister Gift Abuaka. She didn't mention her name, so that's why I'm mentioning her name. It's simple. It's the heart. I say, where there is a will, let's complete. Where there is a will, there is a way. You always find time for the thing that is so passionate in your heart. Praise the Lord. You know, so those that love sport or entertainment or something, that maybe are so addicted to one particular sport, no matter what it is, will they not find time for it? It's a passion rules the whole world. Praise the Lord. Not job, not career, passion. Amen. Passion rules the whole world. Everybody that, no matter how busy they are, they still have time for their passion. Praise the Lord. They still have time for what? For their passion. So the question is, what is your passion? If God Himself, if not things about God, but when the Lord Himself becomes your passion, you find time for it. Because He said, where your heart is, where your treasure is, your heart will be there. So as you are walking, where will your heart be? Your heart will be where your treasure is. So you always find time for it. Praise the Lord. But if your heart is not really, really in God, or your treasure is not really in God, it will be a natural excuse for you to fizzle out. Praise the Lord. Shehu had that vision yesterday. Right? And I walk in Ondo, 1 hour from here, driving distance, back to Ondo. He came back again for another vision. Back to Ondo. If I have another meeting today on Friday, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'll be coming back from Ondo and I'll be heading to another vision. So, it's a passion. So, be passionate about God. You have so much to gain. Praise the Lord. What God can do for you, you know, your skill, your connection, none of them can do it for you in your lifetime. Not even a husband, not marrying the right husband. If God does not empower that husband to do it, he cannot do it. Don't forget there's a third party. The man that loves you so much, passionately and everything, if grace does not keep him, you go and carry another woman. It's simple. It's grace. So can you see where you need God? Okay, I want a husband that will not do that, will love me, that will take care of me and everything. You can't have that desire outside of God. The man can fulfill all those things in your life, but it does not stop you from carrying another woman. What can stop any man on earth from engaging another woman is only God, not the love of another woman. My love for my wife does not stop me from carrying another lady. It's only my fear for God. Praise the Lord. Women are a beautiful thing to the soul of a man. It's our love for God, our passion for God that can stop, you know, that can stop us. So this is the reality. This is flesh and blood truth. Not because, okay, you know, of course you love the woman, you give her everything you can give her, but nothing stops you from playing, from having fun outside. So, but it's your consecration for God that can stop that. So can you see how a young lady cannot venture to go into the future without God? So if the man is not standing strong, how God can contend with the man and correct the man's head, can become a covering for the man. Amen. Praise the Lord. And the same thing for a man and a woman too. So it's even easy. It's easier for a woman. You know, they are married, except for some extreme cases. You know, for a woman, she's married and she stays with the husband. But culturally and socially, you know, it is accepted for a man to go out. True of us. So the tendency, even a woman is restricted by culture, restricted by society to some extent. But if a man is allowed by society and culture to go out, you know, to go out. So it takes God to stop the man there. Praise the Lord. It takes God to... Have you seen a woman with two husbands? Two married husbands? Or have you seen a man with two married wives? So culturally, so these are some of the things we need to understand to give God his right place. So by and by, what is the gift that lacks is the heart, the passion. Your passion. If you are passionate about God, you will pray. Praise the Lord. What did I say? If you have enough fire about God, you will study his words. If you have enough passion about God, you will cut this, you will cut the fellowship, the friendship, the intimacy of his spirit. Is the heart. Praise the Lord.
My name is Lola Agubiade. There's this fear that, you know, I personally used to have, that I tell the Holy Spirit to help me, because I know that it's just the spirit of fear is not from God. So that as a young lady that have passion for Christ, that want to serve God. So when we see some people getting married and actually drawing away from God, not everybody anyway, some in quotes. So it actually gives us an impression that hope this marriage of a thing will not draw us away little from the passion that we have for God. We want to serve God, you know. So when you get married, the balancing of the role of a mother, a lover, and other roles to serving God the way we should. So there is this fear that used to come that maybe getting married, hope it won't take us away from God.
Okay, praise the Lord. You see, marriage is an amplifier. It will amplify what is there already. So if you look at the passion, sometimes you have passion for, maybe because you still have a need, you know, you are still not, you know, your central desire has not been met. So maybe God is like a while away time, like a pastime. But if God is central to the heart, you know, when you get married, then the God that is the God of marriage, you lead you into a marriage that will help you to grow higher, even in your desire and your passion for God. But when some people, you know, they go for a meeting, they do this, by the time they got married, they are, you know, sometimes they say desire fulfilled like a tree of life. Once your desire is fulfilled, you are now relaxed. It now underscores what you have been looking for all this while. Praise the Lord. It's just somebody that is serving God and he not get one job that they are paying him like 200,000. Pastor, you know, I need to submit this report. I need to do this one. I need to do this. But before he gets that job, he say, that's, you know, I say God should purify our motive. Sometimes our motive, you might not know it in your mind or conscious, but that is your motive. But if your motive is God, no matter what you do, praise the Lord, no matter what you do, he said, where your treasure is, I repeat. He said, there your heart was. There your heart to be. Even if you get into a marriage that there are challenges in that marriage, that's when the spirit of God in you will start rising what? Higher. The spirit of prayer will start rising higher. You know, the spirit of the Holy Ghost will now start teaching you how to conquer your territory. Don't forget that you are not alone. Anywhere you are, the Holy Ghost will teach you how to conquer that place. He said, go and have dominion. Even in your marriage, you can have dominion in your marriage. Praise the Lord. So all those things I was telling you that time was the wisdom that God gave me to conquer marriage. so that I can have dominion in marriage. Praise the Lord. He said, go and have dominion. You are thinking of everybody in China. I say, bro, Victor is coming. I'll be Dobale for bro, Victor. No, bro, Victor, go and have dominion over your marriage. Have dominion over the destiny of your children. Have dominion over your calling in life. You know, can you see? Dominion, you know. So, but when we hear dominion, immediately we start thinking about Nigeria, that they will be the one ruling Nigeria. Unbelievers will not find any... Who have all the money, you know. So no, it begins with places like, praise the Lord. So by and by, it will not, marriage will never stop you, no matter the details in that marriage. Praise the Lord. Because it has not stopped some other person, so you'll not be the first person to stop, except you want it to stop you. So long as you have the Holy Ghost, spiritual fire comes from the Holy Spirit. So long as the Holy Ghost is in your life and you are yielding and submitting to the Holy Ghost, the fire will keep blowing and expanding and surging and surging until the perfect day. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Can you put your hands together for the Lord?
My name is Oyedele Oluwatoyin Elizabeth. Now my question is, Pastor Dave once said something. He said, getting married to a man means you are getting married to his destiny. Automatically, you are getting married to his destiny. Now, my question is destiny the man's destiny? My question is, I know there would have been times that you have to travel through the desert with him. You have to travel through the wilderness with him. My question is, what kept you going? Like, what kept you strong? What kept you pulling through?
Okay, praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Okay, actually, yes, because me, I'll give a specific example. There was even a particular time that, you know, like every month, we will give out like a bag of rice, yam, like that. We used to buy things. And, you know, there's this particular one that even like after we shared a bag of rice like yesterday, the second morning, I had to, I think I was on maternity leave for King or something like that. I have to, there was nothing to even eat in the morning. I have to, there was nothing, went to work, there was nothing. I didn't, when there was nothing, there was, when I think there was nothing, there was nothing. So I drank Gary. And I think I had 20 naira. One of my sister-in-law was around. I gave her to go and help me buy granules. So, you know, and this was, we still went ahead and did, you understand, like yesterday we bought yam, you will know for yam enough for you buy a lot of things and you know we share. But one thing is, when you know, like ladies, when you know that this is the will of God and this is something that keeps your, that makes your partner happy. One thing about him is, you know, people say people will be coming and but you know, except you are just going to be wicked, except you just want to be a wicked person. You know that this is something that, yes, that brings your partner, that makes him happy, that he finds fulfillment when he sees people around. So, you know, sometimes you can even be in the house. 6 people comes, sometimes 8 people. It's not as if you are aware. It's not as if you have a prayer knowledge. No. Even especially those times that we don't go my, you know, none of what my husband now has changed from that of recent. Immediately you call him from the office, that maybe you are coming, you are at the gate, you will call me and say, social person will be around over there. But it didn't start like that. No, it didn't start like that. So you can see like 8 people will come to the house, especially from Makumba. Sometimes after we are finished eating. You know, you see that? Yeah. You know? Sometimes, especially we are finished, maybe cooking in the night and, you know, everything. They will come and... And it's not as if you know before. And these are people, it's not as if people that will come that this night now are going to know. No! We're there for the next 5 days. You know, like that. And life keeps going. But you discover that this is something that, yeah, this guy enjoys. You know, he's happy when he sees people. You understand? And so, except you just want to, you know, be wicked yourself. Except you just want to, like, I don't want to make this person happy. But if you have the interest of your partner at heart, you know, and God has helped you, you know, it's two different things.
is because if you don't have any element of that godliness and love in you, you may not be able to. But you discover that it's life continues. We play, you wouldn't know, even know that things happen and I have to like tell people. You won't even know that this. I didn't know that these people are coming. I will not know. But now, just that one. Even if somebody is coming at the gate, even if maybe I didn't pick a call, he would send me text. This person will be around today and can be around maybe for the weekend or something. But it didn't start like that. And there had never been a day that there was a quarrel about it. I've never quarreled about it. It's like that and it's like that. So life continues. Another thing is, if you are good, naturally someone will follow you. If you are good, it's by nature. You will see that other side that maybe this one is not telling me, is not doing this one. If you are good, but imagine somebody that is not good. But this is somebody that comes to the house. It plays with the children. You even think you sit down as if we are doing pictures. Sometimes it can be the house. It will be the one that okay. Today I will make food. You understand? All of us will sit down like this. He will go. He will be able to make. He will cook food. You understand? Then we will say, "My dad is learning how to cook now." You understand? You will cook the food. All of us will sit down around the table and eat it. You understand? As in, he's busy. Fine. He goes to work as early as possible. Sometimes by 6 o'clock, he will have left. But we have 3 children by the grace of God, and he will before that 6 o'clock, they will have taken their bath. He will have bathed them. He will bathe them by that is before 6 o'clock. You understand? He will bathe them. He will have, sometimes this day maybe they are not ready to. He will keep them back, and he will even tell me your water is the best. Me, I'm still lying down. Your water is. You will have bathed. Your water is the best. So I'll just stand up and do what and take my own bath. When they were still too used to bathe, and he will still go to work. Sometimes throughout the night, of course he will praise his night, and like that. If you are good, you are good. You are helping me. So there's no. But right now you just be landlord of yourself, and you are just putting responsibility on people. Mm. Yeah, so you discover that in everything. In everything is good. Is it finance? The one is doing ministry, is doing the other side, but he's a very good of his face. Take good care of his family. He takes very good care of his family in all things. Yes, in all things. He's good. We have never had any cause of quarrel since like married for 8 years now. We've not quarreled for one day. It's not as if, what will we worry about? Somebody, even if you want to form quarrel, somebody that is not even quarrel. So, even if you want to form quarrel, there's no means of quarreling. So there's no quarrel. There's no quarrel. This and this. So that if somebody is good, you too you will no space for prayer.
So even if you want to form it, no space. I want our pastor to tell us what is his quest, what is his heart desire, and what is the run for this phase of him.
Praise the Lord. In 2 minutes, the word I spoke last year, the journey in meekness, like I said, is beyond the 12th calendar month for me. So I'm still on that path. Then added to that path is what? Is building faith. Praise the Lord. Say with me, faith. Say with me, faith.
Faith.
Those of us that were in church overnight, Wednesday night, I spoke about faith. And not just there, we've been speaking about faith since November last year. Bro, Tokwe, we had a meeting on Wednesday night in church. We spoke about faith, another dimension of faith, not the one you know, for the past 2 months. So I'm building,
in addition to everything I want to do, I want to build faith so that I can appropriate certain things in the spirit. But everything in God is answerable to faith. Let me give you an example. Lately, I've been having a desire. I mentioned a foundation, right? And I've not even discussed with my wife before, but you know, I want to at least layer foundation. That's my wife's name is Layer, so it will be like layer foundation. It just came into my spirit lately, you know. So, and I'm talking about foundation now. I'm not talking about foundation of 2,000 naira. You know, I'm thinking the context of foundation that you can start up a foundation with about 30 million naira. Praise the Lord. You know, with a foundation that will have a net asset of running to hundreds of millions. I'm not thinking about looking about, you know, what joy. You know, there are things that you close your eye, what gives you joy? Look at so many suffering all over the whole world. Just even Nigeria and beyond Nigeria, even some of these African nations. Humanitarian crisis all over the world. What stops you from going to give to them? Who say you cannot give to them? Eh? Who have put you in a box? You don't know what it means to stay in the midst of starving children and then be giving them food. You know, when you be feeding them, you'll be shedding tears. You see, there are things you can experience in life. It's not about just, okay, go to Atlanta and go and stay in one 5-star hotel. Good and fine, you have the money to do that. But when you need finance, you need money to do some of these works. These are good works, you know. He said, let your light, let men see your good works. So, you know, when I think in context of certain things like that. So when I talk about foundation of, I thank God to give me certain kind of money. Out of this kind of money, I'll put 30 million in this kind of foundation. But even before then, not waiting to then, what can you do, you know? We have a lawyer friend. It's just I have not had time to see him. I want to discuss with him about setting up an NGO or a foundation or something. And then setting, what can you do on your own? Even before God comes to meet you at certain kind of this, so that you can help, you know? That one, their foundation is for the help ministry. It's for the ministry of helps, you know? Where you can help people through trauma. Sometimes the help some people need is finance, is material needs. You say your brother that is hungry, how will you now pray for the person and send the person empty? You say that's not faith. Praise the Lord. So we can see why I was talking about expanding the horizon of our faith. You know, so you keep walking with God, you keep believing, and I want to put it to us too. I need it. You need to believe God. There are so many things about your life. You know, you don't know what you can do in this life, you know, until God breaks open on you. I'm telling you, you know, until God breaks loose and breaks open on you, you don't know what you have the capacity to do. Praise the Lord. All of these men you are looking about, this man that had Facebook now, he was just gifted. Somebody told us his story in the training, and he was hacking into ladies' email to get their pictures. It was that gift that was later developed and become Facebook. Do you understand what I'm saying? It was just a young man like any other person. So they were not people with two heads. You know, it's gift that God put there. So everybody has his own gift. And you may not have, you don't need to have a spectacular gift. All you need to do is another gift that is called favor. The favor will just be on you. Praise the Lord. It's a good measure, Abby. Press down, shake it together. Under. It's a man who gives to you. It's not angels. Everything that Bishop Boyedepo had, people gave him. Apart from the one, then the initial one that people gave, then he now used wisdom to multiply it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All of them, that every man you can think of, that he gave them. So what you need is in the hand of a man. And Jesus illustrated it in his earthly ministry. One time he needed a room to do supper. He sent there two of his disciples. Go and tell him that the master has need of that room. Another time he needed to ride a donkey. He needed to ride something to the city. He said, go and meet so-so person. You see a donkey tied. When they ask you, tell them that the master wants to use it. Another time, he didn't have any. You see how you live. Another time again, he needed to pay tax. They say, master, that one is okay. Go to the river and you see a fish. When you catch the fish, amen. The fish will give you a coin. You know, I'm bringing forth to use it to pay. Can you see? You see, this is the path of prosperity. What you need is in people's hand. It's a compelling angels who compel them to release it to you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What you need is in people's hands. All this is blessing, prosperity, and all of those. Even, okay, the Facebook, is it not from us, it's collecting money? Eh? Today I've collected money from my hand because I was on Facebook. You know? So some of all these things is in people's hands. They will release it to you. He said the wicked man lay in store only for him to store for the righteous or something that the Bible says. So you need to believe God. That, you know, this God, faith can reverse any situation, can turn any hand. You know, so just believe God. Just keep following God. You see, somebody can just call this and that, you know, like that, you know. You can just somehow something will just spring up. Don't forget, like what I told us in church, who brings the opportunity? It's God that brings the opportunity. It's God that arranges and you just walk it, arranges, then you just walk it like a prince. Because actually you are a prince. You know, royalty. That's who we are. That's why Jesus himself is a prince. And we are his children, we are also prince. You know, so these are some of the things. So you need to build what? Build what? Build what? Faith. It will not just, they won't beg you to come and collect it. They can beg you to be saved. But, amen. You can be begged to be saved. They can plead with you to come and be saved. But this blessing, nobody will beg you. They expect that you demand it. You demand it and take it. Like, you remember that story, and I've told us again and again, the prodigal son and the other boy. He was in the house. He was not having anything. You know? But this other boy, he doesn't care. He went and asked for it. Give me. Did the father not give him? That was faith. The father gave him on the ground of faith. Give me my portion. He said, my portion. The father, take your portion. He squandered it. He came back again. The one that was left for this other boy. He was still not asking for his own. Share it. He asked again. They now divided into two again. If he carried and squandered it and come back again, the one that is left again, they will not divide it again. And that's why the boy will be suffering. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So can you see where faith comes in? So I want to build your faith. Don't say it's too long. Don't be patient. You know, don't be in a hurry. Keep walking. You know, keep walking. Keep believing God. Keep believing God. Life is still, it's a long journey. It's a long journey. Look at 5 years ago, it looked like yesterday. So 5 years from now, it's also like a day. So just keep going. Even if you are not going to break through the next 5 years, but stay on course. But by the time God arrives on you, you start smiling. You say, is it this simple? You know, that is, is it this simple? Praise the Lord. God bless you.
So I want us to just appreciate God. I want to appreciate. I want us to thank Him. Today is beginning a new count. Another 365 one quarter day begins from today. Let's thank God. Let's thank God for that which you have heard tonight. Lord, we are not ungrateful. You know, just like one of the disciples asked. Jesus said, and he said, tell us where you are going now. Show us, tell us the way. And the guy was like, I have said with you this far. As silly as that question was that time, it was one of the most profound questions in the scriptures. Because it gave us, you know, assurance and reiterates the fact that the only man who had come here and can say emphatically, this is where I am going after now. And then we can follow him. Lord, we so much appreciate you. For tonight, O Lord, it's another opening unto us. Thank you, Father, for showing us another side of yours. Thank you, O God, for opening unto us another phase of yours. Thank you, faithful Father. We glorify your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have worshipped.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Our Father, we thank you. We bless your name. Thank you for tonight. Thank you for touching our lives deeply. We appreciate you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
As we go forth, in this might. In this overcoming might. In this might to dominate whatever comes our way in Jesus' name.
Amen.
To be victorious in all things that come our ways in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, our Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you because our heart desires are met in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We walk in the strength of everything that you have for us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you. After now, we will know victory. We walk in victory. And walk the victorious path in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you for our siblings, our families, our homes,
every one of our people connected to us, related to us. It is well with them in Jesus' name. We give you praise and glory. We give you honor. Thank you for making it possible to even have this fellowship in the first place. To have us gather at your feet in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, our Father. We've been doing it for the past 7 years. And in it all you have been faithful. Thank you, our Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Concerning the school outreach today to high school. The outreach to high school, secondary school, we thank you because your power will bring everything subservient to your will in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you because the souls of men will respond to you.
Amen.
Thank you because there will be salvation, there will be deliverance, there will be healing, and there will be manifestation of your presence and your power in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We bring high school under the feet of the Master in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You will hear Jesus.
Amen.
And you will respond to Jesus today in Jesus' name. Thank you, our Father. For in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Say, the Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. He makes us to lie down in green pasture. He leads us beside the still waters. He restores our souls. He leads us in paths of righteousness. For his name's sake. Though walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil, for you are with us. The rod and your staff, they comfort us. You prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. You anoint our head with oil. Our cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives,
and we shall dwell in
the house of the Lord forever and ever.
For more life-transforming messages, please visit www.livingscrollministry.com.